You're listening to The Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed, episode number 78. In case you are not familiar, TRC stands for The Rubber Chickens, and you can find our writings at therubberchickensblog.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at RUBRChickens. We are brought to you tonight by our good friends at BlueMoonDisc.com, makers of the authentic Discada plow disc cooking pans, the ultimate tailgate cooking accessory. If you visit BlueMoonDisc.com anytime during the football season and use the promo code TRC2015, you can get 10% off your total order.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
It really is.
I am your host, Buck, coming to you from North Atlanta, and I am joined, as always, by T-Bone in the Upstate and G-Man, who is joining us from the Midlands. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you guys in the audience something about the three of us. And this is the absolute truth. This is 100% true.
You're not about to talk about my superfluous nipple, are you?
I am not, but we can talk about that later in the show if you'd like. So at the beginning of August, we started a little push-up challenge on August the 1st. All three of us, actually a lady at work kind of brought this up, and there's some folks that I work with that are doing it too. But I'm proud to announce that as of this taping, on August the 27th, between the three of us, we have done approximately 9,000 push-ups to date. Now, I've personally done about 4,500. T-Bone, how many have you done?
Well, I haven't done the math, but I've done every doggone push-up that you've done.
So, you know, you're well over 4,000 as well. G-Man, how many are you up to now?
No, see, this is not nice. Because you guys, and I'm going to use terms like guys to be nice.
We did the push-ups, is what you're saying.
I did the push-ups
for three days.
It was about 3 days.
It was about a week. And then everybody knows that I have a little injury. Shoulder injury that I was recommended to stop doing the push-ups. Now, as soon as we get on the next challenge, I'm all in. As Dabo says, I am all in.
And
I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. Hold on.
He's going to the gynecologist tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And there's a sand extraction.
Exactly. And if he says that I'm good on the push-ups, then I'm back on the push-ups tomorrow.
For 3 days. The last 3 days
of
the month.
Hey, look, man. I was in some little bit of pain. Right. A little pain, so.
Hey, there's a difference. There's a difference between being injured and being hurt.
That's true.
That's what Spurrier says. Anyway, speaking of Spurrier, we're less than a week away from kickoff against North Carolina in Charlotte, and I honest to goodness, I cannot remember the last time we knew less about a South Carolina football team. Can you? But since before the internet era, I was thinking of. You know, when I was thinking about that, I was thinking of the 96 Georgia game, and I was sitting with G-Man and this skinny kid for South Carolina was just wreaking havoc from the defensive end position. He was just killing Mike Bobo all night, and I had to ask, I'm like, G-Man, who is this dude? And
John Abraham.
G-Man says it's John Abraham. He was skinny, not highly recruited. I think he played for a 1A high school or something
Lamar.
Like that.
Lamar High School.
And, God, he was just terrorizing Georgia that night. And, you know, I didn't know anything about any of our recruits at the time.
For you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Who was the other freshman defensive end who was also very good? Not Abraham.
Matt Marsters.
Correct.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
He wore number 94, as a matter of fact, if I remember correctly. So, Matt Marsters and John Abraham. So, thoughts on the team in general. I mean, we'll kind of get into what August has been like a little later in the show, but let's talk about the team that we have. Connor Mitch was named the starting quarterback, I guess, a couple of days ago, which was a surprise to exactly no one.
Right.
Perry Orth and Michael Scarnecchia are, you know, 2A and 2B, and Lorenzo Nunez is like one and a half or something like that. It sounds like he's going to probably get the next snaps at quarterback, but he's going to come in and run a specific package. He's not ready to run the whole offense. Thoughts on Connor Mitch as the starting QB? Do you feel any better than you did earlier in the fall practice or back in the spring, or you feel about the same?
I feel about the same. I mean, I just don't know enough to make any sort of judgments or statements about it. They say all through practice, everybody looked about the same. We kept hearing this over and over again. We don't know if that's true or if Mitch stood out. We haven't seen him in game action except for, what, 6 passes, completed 2, and sacked about 3 times. So I don't feel a whole lot better about it, to be honest with you. Now, watching him in the spring game, which we all attended, he looked like a quarterback. I thought he threw a nice ball.
He looked pretty good. He did look good.
He hit Darius Rucker with that nice ball in the corner of the end zone. I mean, there was something there.
Yeah.
So
I haven't seen Rucker on the depth chart, by the way.
No, but we might need some help at wide receiver because we are a little, shall we say, inexperienced out there.
Yeah. T-Bone?
Yeah, I was just going to say that part of the problem is a little vague worry that we have, a little nagging concern from something that Lou Holtz said years ago about starting quarterbacks. He said, if you don't have a starting quarterback, if you don't have a clear-cut starting quarterback, you got a problem. You know, the idea that you may have 3 guys that are equal, according to Holtz, is not a good sign. Somebody should have separated themselves and become a leader. So you've got kind of that model that's bothering us against the Spurrier model, which I don't think he cares if you name a starter. I think he's being honest when he says, yeah, well, somebody's got to go take the first snap.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw my tweet from about a week ago. I said, if you have 2 quarterbacks, then you have no quarterbacks.
Right.
And
right.
If you have 4 quarterbacks, then you need to subtract 2 just to get down to 0.
Just to get to 0.
So on, you got to feel pretty good about the running back position, Brandon Wildes, David Williams, sprinkle in a little bit of house call Sean Carson every once in a while. offensive line, a lot of new guys up there. Brandon Shell's a veteran, but he's going to be playing a different position.
Yeah, you worried about that at all?
Left tackle. I mean, you always got to worry about your left tackle. I mean, Shell looks like a left tackle, but it sounds like they've tried him there before and it didn't quite work out. But
right,
they obviously feel like he's the best option over there right now. I don't know. Where's Matuzel's playing? Is he over? He's on the left side.
He's on the left side.
Left guard.
Yeah, he's a left guard, and I think that they're trying to present that as the strong side.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
That's where they'll be running the ball.
That's right, and I think that's the plan, and I actually feel pretty good about the offensive line because we have a veteran group up there. Everybody's played, even Matulis, even though he hasn't played since 2006.
He's 37 years old.
It's funny you said that, and I started doing math. I'm like, wait a minute.
That might be possible.
Right, 2006, and so you got, but everybody is a veteran who has played, except Zandy. He hasn't played much, but everybody else has played, and then we do have Waldrop, who is always hurt, but he started a lot of games, and he could come in and play, I think, any of the interior spots. So I feel pretty good about the offensive line. Maybe some people don't, but I don't know. I think that's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Of course, they need to stay healthy.
Right. Yeah. Tight ends. I think we're in pretty good. We're definitely in good shape with Jarrell Adams, and then there are like 4 white guys behind him that sound like they're playing well. Jacob August. Who is a walk on. Hurst, I think, is a guy whose name we've heard is a walk on.
Yeah, and they're big guys too, man. They're
big. And then who's the tight
end? Crosby.
Casey Crosby. I forgot about Crosby.
There was a report today, and I don't know what to make of it, but there was a report on Twitter today that Crosby was running with the scout team.
Really?
Yeah, he was wearing whatever the alternate jersey is.
He played well in the spring game. But this Hurst kid and August have played well, and then one of the true freshmen has apparently been pretty impressive. I can't remember.
Markaway. Redmond's been hurt all fall practice.
Yeah.
Markaway's the kid from Missouri.
St. Louis area. Yeah. You know, wide receiver. You look at our quarterback situation and our wide receiver situation. They announced tonight the top six wide receivers, and I don't know that I could name them straight out for you, but I did look up. Two of them are former walk-ons. Two of them have never taken a snap in a college football game, and one of them is Shamir Jeffrey, who has less than 10 catches in 4 years. So I...
And if you were listening, if you were listening to Spurrier Jr., his little meet with the media after practice, I think he made one of those names up. I think he was just trolling us. Matrix something or another. Yeah,
Matrix Belton.
Matrix Belton.
We knew about Carlton Hurd getting a scholarship and everything, but Belton was a surprise to me to be one of the top six guys. But
wouldn't that be awesome if he just made the name up? Wouldn't that be the perfect way to handle it?
I mean, where's Monty Means and Zola Bronson. Davis?
When you need to write Zola Davis.
Where's Monty Means and, you know, and James Atkinson when you need him? You know what I'm saying?
So I don't know if Shaq Davidson was in that top six before he got hurt today, but sounds kind of ominous what happened to him. It's just knee injury, MRI tomorrow, and I would say about 90% of the time you hear sprained knee and MRI, it's going to be a torn ACL. So I just have to hope for the best for him. But he hadn't been making any noise either. He was a pretty highly recruited guy out of Gaffney and redshirted last year, and really has not made a lot of noise in the spring or the fall. So you got to be. There are a lot of concerns on offense, and we're not trying to trying to panic before the first snap is taken. But last year, I think we were so high on everybody that we just didn't see the warts. And I think it's a little easier to see the warts before we head into the end of the season. So if we're not successful, it'll be a little easier to identify why not than maybe it was last year. The defense is supposed to be much better. Everything we're hearing out of camp is they're faster, they're tackling better, they're more aggressive. You know, you got Lewis, Sawyer, Ulrich Jones. Ulrich Jones did not have great stats coming out of junior college, but everybody's talking about this cat. And you see photos of him. He's a dang monster. You got veteran linebackers, year older. Defensive backs are all a year older. You got Isaiah Johnson roaming that free safety position, which I think is probably going to be – he's going to be the newcomer of the year, even though we're only going to get 1 year out of him. That was a very important pickup for us during the signing period. Feel good about defense and what John Hoke is doing?
I mean,
either one of you guys.
I feel pretty good about things. You know, I'm pessimistic a little bit just because of the product on the field last year, and we have a lot of the same players with a few, notably Sawyer, Lewis, and Johnson being the key additions to the group. Everybody else is pretty much back. And I tell you what, though, we have a lot of bodies to roll out there at the defensive line spots. I mean, we got a lot of depth up there. Maybe not as much at one of the defensive ends as we would like, but a lot of depth at linebacker. I mean, we have six solid linebackers. Secondary, I'm not quite as sold as a lot of the preseason discussion. I'm not as sold on the corners as some people are, but I don't know. I think we're going to be better, but you're going to have to show me,
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing that has been fun, and I put a little asterisk beside this and say a week from tonight I might be singing a different tune, but listening to John Hoke with the media is just so much fun, because they ask him a question and he always comes back to the same answer. He's like, well, it's assignment, alignment, whatever. And no matter what they ask, he's like, well, yeah, we have to tackle. Yeah, we have to be
very simple.
Well, and the other day, there was a thing where one reporter, who I won't necessarily name him, but it's Seth Emerson, but he said, you know, educate me, coach. Tell me, how, you know, how do you tackle? You ascribe to the Hulk method of tackling, and Hogue just looks at him, and, you know, he almost busts out laughing in Seth's face, but he says, you know, well, you have to have leverage. He's like, what do you mean by leverage? And he's like, leverage.
You, have to, you know.
Right. You have your feet and your arms and your shoulders, and you have to have leverage. But he's just so much fun to watch with the media.
Just, you know, just get him on the ground any way you can. I don't really care.
Right.
unlike last year.
Right.
Exactly. Unlike the Texas A&M game last year where we missed them by about 4 feet.
Or
you know,
the Tennessee game.
Oh, God.
The Kentucky game.
Or I mean, I'll never get over. And I know he was a Warrior, played hurt, but Bryson Williams with that launch towards Tennessee receiver at the end of the game.
Yeah.
If he had just, you know, used any appendage that he has,
yeah,
he went to the football game. Yeah. He just sort of launched his body at him, and that was the ball game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, North Carolina, week from tonight. I don't know how to feel about this game. I think it's a toss-up. I know we're a three-point favorite. North Carolina's offense is good enough to put up points on our defense. I have no doubt about that. I think they can score. I think they'll definitely score 20. They probably have the firepower to score 30. Their defense was worse than ours last year. I think I read something they gave up 60 more yards and 9 more points per game than we did last year.
And that's saying something right there.
Yeah, that's saying a lot. So the question is our offense going to be able to move the ball on their defense? And are we going to, you know, how conservative are we going to be with Connor Mitch in there? Is it going to be run, which I think it probably will be
a bit. That is the answer.
But then again, let me say this. You remember when Connor Shaw was hurt against Vanderbilt a couple of years ago and Dylan Thompson started against, was it East Carolina?
Right.
That was the first game that he started, and we said that all week. It's like, well, Dylan Thompson's never started a college football game. They're going to be real careful with it, and he came out slinging.
It
was long ball after long, and maybe he'll do the same thing with Mitch. You know, maybe he'll just say, you know what, screw it. What do we got to lose here? Let's turn it loose.
So, I think he's gonna throw the ball. I mean, Steve Spurrier, come on, we're gonna throw the football. But
he'll lose patience as soon as we hit a couple of third and sixes, you know.
Well, I hope we come out and throw some on first down to give him some throws where there's not as much pressure on him. You know, try to be unpredictable, and honestly, it's going to boil down to our offensive line, guys. I mean, can they control the line of scrimmage? If they can. I mean, I know this sounds very cliche, kind of like some of the recent blog posts, but
here comes a hot take.
If we can control the line of scrimmage on offense, I think we win the football game, and I really do. We got two really good backs who could gain yardage after contact, which I think is key. I think we win the football game. Good tight ends and Pharaoh, of course. We haven't talked about Pharaoh at all.
Yeah, and he's been getting some major love the last week or so.
Well, we do have a superstar.
Yeah.
And Spurrier does do a good job of getting the ball in the hands of his stars. I mean, historically, think about that. I mean, you know, back to the Sidney Rice days and in the Alshon days. I mean, he's able to get the ball in the hands of his stars. And I'm sure that they're going to maximize that on Thursday.
I saw somebody ask on Twitter, do they – give Nunez more snaps out of the Wildcat, or is that still Pharaoh's job?
Pharaoh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You mentioned in the open that you thought Nunez is going to get. It's going to be a package play for him, and it's going to happen early.
Yeah, I think that Spurrier would like to limit the amount of hits on Pharaoh. I think he wants to try to find other ways to get him the football. And I think Nunez is probably going to take over a lot of Pharaoh's plays. But if he's not as successful, I mean, you know, Pharaoh hasn't been consistently great out of the Wildcat. He's broken some huge plays over the last couple of years, but,
are you kidding me? I mean, I mean, yeah, he's gotten tackled a few times, but are you forgetting the pass plays? The Brandon Wiles
play? No. Those were they were pass plays. I'm talking about
exactly,
running.
Exactly, but it's out of the formation.
I know,
that's
but I'm talking about him running and getting hit, and you got to set that play up. And they got to run five or six plays where he gets tackled and risk getting hurt. But you know what? As that's coming out of my mouth, you know what? It's freaking football. So let's go. Take
built,
a few hits.
He's not a dainty little guy. I mean, he's built to take a hit. I mean, he's going to have to take some hits. But anyway, move on.
Yeah, so you know we'll jump to a quick Twitter question while we're talking about the schedule. Jorge Brosada asked us where we would be after the first four games of the season, and that's North Carolina, Kentucky, Georgia, and Central Florida. You know, we could easily be 2-2, but I think we probably all agree it's 3-1. We ain't winning at Georgia. I hate to tell y'all, we're not going to go in there. And after what happened last year, and their defense is just loaded. They are loaded.
Nick Chubb
is on that side of the ball. They might run the ball 70 times against us. You know, North Carolina, again, like I said, is a toss-up. Kentucky is that typical South Carolina game from the last few years where we're going to jump out to like a 24-0 lead and we're going to win like 31-27 or something like that. I feel like we're going to come out on fire and then Kentucky will get some momentum and
that one's in Williams-Brice. And
yeah,
historically, at least under Spurrier, we play real well against Kentucky at home. It's up there that we struggle. I think that was true with us.
And I think we owe them one. I really do. I think that game circled. You know, I mean, we owe, you don't agree? They're a T-bone.
No, I completely agree. I'm sick of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to put one on those guys. I don't know why, but I think it's coming. Central Florida. I don't know what they have. Anybody know?
I do not. I can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine they'll be as good as they've been the previous 2 years, but. You know, we'll see.
I hope that receiver graduated, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
You know that guy.
The one
with the shoulder pads and the number. Yeah, he was good. So I hope, you know, I don't know that you've heard anything really new or original on this podcast so far. Hopefully we've been moderately entertaining. But I want to kind of jump to one Twitter question from Connor Tapp. He says, what are your thoughts on people getting mad about you comedically pointing out that little news comes out of fall practice?
Here lately, and you may have some thoughts on this, some prepared comments, Buck, but here lately it seems to me that there's a lot of sensitivity out there on the interwebs.
Yeah.
A lot of people are very, very defensive.
Yeah,
I don't really know why that is. What do you think?
Here's the thing. If you're not familiar, go back to the website August 4th. And what spurred this whole thought process and the blog post that I wrote was Spurrier closing all the practices. Okay, I mean, number one, it's so hard to know what your team is actually going to be. In practices, you go to the spring football game, and we're playing against each other. So if the offense scores a touchdown, it's like, hey, great job, offense, but did they score that because our defense sucks? You know?
Yeah.
Or, hey, there's a sack. Is that because Quay Lewis is so awesome, or is it because our tackle sucks? Is it, you know? So it's so hard to tell anyway, and we try to figure all that stuff out.
You know what? Can I say something?
Football, yeah, go ahead.
Isn't this a game? Isn't this supposed to be fun? I mean, people take this stuff so darn seriously. I mean,
we
take it seriously, but I mean, you know, a point of our whole existence is TRC. You know, we're trying to keep it light, keep it fun, and keep it real.
Right.
You know,
and even people who have followed us for a long time kind of miss that point every once in a while.
Right.
So anyway, so Spurrier says, I'm going to close practices. I'm going to close all the practices. And we kind of knew that he would open up a scrimmage or two along the way. And, you know, we'd get to see us play against us and all that stuff. So on August the 4th, I wrote this blog post that, you know, basically said, here's what you're going to learn. Nothing. you know, like the only news you're going to get out of fall practice, you're going to get Spurrier being funny a couple of times during his post-practice comments, which he's done that. You know, the announcement of the starting quarterback, which we got, I guess, was it yesterday? Yeah. Was it that's the easily the biggest news to come out of fall practice so far, and we knew what the answer was going to be. Who's going to be the starting quarterback? Well, we knew it was going to be Connor Mitch. We knew it. We knew it from the. There was a little doubt, you know, Spurrier threw in there. Oh, they're kind of even. But man, if it wasn't going to be Connor Mitch, then we're screwed. And you know, I threw in a couple other comments, and one of the guys at one of the pay sites got his, you know, undergarments all bunched up because I poked a little fun. I poked a little fun at them. But you know what? Everything I wrote on August 4th is still dead truth on August the 27th.
You know what you should do? Because you've got this gift. You've made these predictions months in advance.
Yeah.
You should put out there and say, people, give me your credit card number.
Yeah.
And once a month, I'll charge you $9.99, and you'll never be able to cancel the service because we don't actually man the phones.
But every day, I'll give you a new tidbit about South Carolina football.
A little tidbit. Yeah. Like I'm going to come up with a phrase here, like an insider's tidbit. Even though, you know, all I've got is a press pass. You've got less than a press pass. You just got an opinion.
So let me.
What do you think about that business model?
I would never, never tell anybody. You know, there are a few things you don't do. You don't try to tell people. I'd never tell anybody what to do with their money. That's none of my business.
I thought you were going to say you don't step on Superman's cape.
Don't step on Superman's cape. Yeah. What, with me being Superman? Was that Superman?
No.
Anyway.
But you know what? And I did it for you. That $9.95 or whatever, and I hate to say it, I would have said this if this guy hadn't come after us on Twitter. But here it is. You're wasting your money if you're paying $9.95. And, you know, I don't know. I'm only talking about the site that I was a member of. You know, I like the folks over at Gamecock Central. I do. And Chris Clark wrote a great piece on Touré Boyd earlier in the fall. I'd have paid $10 just to read that. I would have. It's great. And I'm not saying these guys don't work hard. They're trying hard to make a living. They're doing, you know, they're out there every day, and I am not. But it's the way this thing is set up. These college programs, you know, a few years ago, some dude knows a ball boy or an assistant coach or the person who washes the towels, who overhears the speeches, and that's the insider. You know, here's what I'm hearing. Well, you know what? The programs and coaches, they caught on to that pretty quick, and they have locked down the information flow. So when you see, hey, hot news out of practice, guess what Steve Spurrier said? You know what it is? It's the same stuff that GoGameCocks.com is publishing and Sports Talk SC is publishing, all the stuff you get for free. Take that $10 and give it to your favorite charity every month, okay? I promise you, you won't be missing anything.
Because there's another little thing out there that totally blows the business model out, the whole insider's pay site business model out of the water, and it's called Twitter.
Yeah.
Because once Twitter came along, we're all insiders, guys. We all are.
Yeah.
Every player's tweeting all day long, unless, you know, you go to Clemson, where they can't do that, apparently. They're tweeting. The media's tweeting. Everybody's rushing to get information out. It's all the same information. I mean, it's all on Gamecocks Online exactly 90 minutes after it's said, and that's as soon as any of us are really going to get it.
But the problem is that you've got these businesses that are set up, and it's the information age, and they're fighting for information, fighting for airtime, fighting for I guess, listeners or viewers or, you know, internet participants, whatever, and they got to come up with something to try to get us to click, you know?
Right.
Insider hot take. You click on there, and it's all about, you know, how somebody had, you know, he looked good today, but they weren't even wearing shoulder pads.
Yeah.
You know? Right. I mean, they look good in a helmet.
And basically, they're not seeing this with their own eyes. They're interviewing coaches and players, and then they're writing stories, and they're presenting it as some sort of, you know, hot insider information that you're not going to get anywhere else, and you're getting it everywhere else.
But there's such an appetite, guys. There's such an appetite, and they know that. I mean, there's such, college football is more popular than it's ever been. And I'm not trying to defend it, but there's such an appetite for this information.
There it is.
People are just sitting there waiting. Insider report today. Click. You know, they're going on there. They're looking at it. You know, because I know I've done it before, and now realizing that usually 99% of the time there's nothing there. I mean, that's what you know, they're tapping into that. And
is it fair to ask a question of the whole panel? Anybody on here still a member of any pay site?
I'm not.
I am, but just because I haven't gotten around to canceling it.
But he doesn't know where all his money goes anyway. I mean, it's spread out. Yeah. Well, and G-Man, you made a good point. Is, you know, this guy came after me on Twitter and was upset that I said people need to, instead of sitting around waiting for the practice report, to go out and walk your dog or spend some more time with your family. And, oh, heaven forbid that I would tell somebody not to spend so much time on the internet, you know? I mean, I don't know. These guys do good work. They do good work.
Let me give you some insider information.
Yeah.
This is true insider information. Go to Cocky Talk. Spurticus.
Is he still going? Still going at it? So, I don't know. I'm not trying to take they do good work. I'm not trying to take food out of their mouth or, you know, the guy came at me and was upset about me telling people to spend less time on the internet. And I'm like, do you know how many people stopped clicking on your site because of what I, you know, this tongue-in-cheek blog post I wrote? Nobody. Now, somebody, if you're listening to this and you're hearing what we're saying, you might have second thoughts when you hear what we're saying tonight. But you know what? So what if TBS loses $20 a month, we said?
But again, back to my point.
Yeah.
We started this, first of all, to have a good time. But we sort of started this to be the other voice, right? The other side, the ultimate outsiders instead of the ultimate insiders, right?
Yeah.
Says that on the banner of the site. Yeah.
Exactly. So you know what? That's what we do. They do their thing. We do our thing. Leave us alone. We'll leave you alone. You know what I mean? You know, we weren't. It was tongue in cheek, like you said. It was just for fun. I mean, we're trying to show people the lighter side because, after all, this is sports. This is supposed to be fun. Quit taking it so seriously, please.
Yeah, I made some jokes about Connor Mitch yesterday and about how the fans were going to be calling for Nunez or Orth or somebody, and he's like, why are you hating on Connor Mitch? I'm like, I'm really not hating on Connor Mitch at all. I really, you know.
We're having fun.
Why are you hating on Sean Carson? Look, I would love for Sean Carson to come out and rush for 1,200 yards and have 3 kickoff returns for touchdown. It's just not going to happen. But I would be the first guy to, you know, go down and congratulate him. But
hey, I want him to be the next Matthew Thomas. What do y'all think?
We've got to have a kickoff return for a touchdown someday. Yeah. What are we going on, 13 years, 14 years?
Yeah, it's got to be a record.
Anyway, let's do a little This Week in Dabo, and then we'll take some Twitter questions, T-Bone, if you want to get those ready. But I'm actually going to ask you about This Week in Dabo, too, because they have
Do we still have a sound effect intro for This Week in Dabo?
Yeah, but you know it's late. I don't know if I'm going to be able to plug it in or not. I'm a lot
it's
lazier
so
than
funny.
I used to be. This
it's
week
so
in Dabo.
In Dabo.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
So anyway, you know, they had a defensive lineman who was one of their representatives at ACC Media Days, just basically up and quit on him. Said he's going to take some time away from football and.
What's your problem? That's not a problem. What's wrong?
Right. We put out a statement. I don't want to talk about it anymore. So the interesting thing, Sports Talk put out K-Mac, our buddy K-Mac, put out a pretty good little post today. I don't know. Did you guys get a chance to read that where he talks about?
I think it was yesterday.
Talks about the Isaiah Battle situation, which they never said was a suspension. They never said it was related to drugs, but it turns out it all was, you know. But it was a very vague, you know, he's having a child, his personal reasons, blah, 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 when it sounds like actually he was, you know, third strike on something. Weed or something. So now that DJ Reader has taken off, you know, it sounds innocent. Hey, personal issues. He's just taking some time away. But you got to be more skeptical of the information they're putting out.
Heels of things. Well, who was the guy? Townsend, Latique Townsend, right, a few years ago.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. He was all world, all wonderful, all everything. We loved the guy, and then he left for personal reasons. Then you find out later, you know, there was a real issue there that made him leave. And I mean, why are we surprised by this? Dabo Swinney is a salesman. As it turns out, he's a very good salesman. But this idea that he's some saint that would never lie is ridiculous, because time after time after time, he goes out there, he looks in the camera, and he lies. And you can call it whatever you want.
Well, the rumors that their athletic director met with the director of communications for North Korea. Have you got any more information on that?
We can neither confirm nor deny.
About the flow. They're taking some cues from North Korea on how they disseminate their information.
I'm just going to have some member of the media, and you figured it would be the guys at Sports Talk, because they're kind of the guys that do what the media should do, you know, in the sporting world around here.
Yeah, K-Mac doesn't play around. K-Mac,
no, yeah. Well, I mean, well, and
DGAF, I think the kids call it.
Around, right?
Yeah, they don't go to the media conference with a Gamecock or Clemson shirt on,
right?
You know,
right,
like a lot of these guys do.
Right.
Do you know that, Phil? Do you know that, Phil?
Oh, you didn't know that, did you?
All right, T-Bone.
Time out.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just a little side note that I've been thinking about the last couple of days. Watch every Spurrier Jr. Press conference you can on Gamecocks Online. It's hilarious. If you just close your eyes, it's Steve Spurrier. And I know that's not news, but just the one that came out today, it's like classic Spurrier, except it's Spurrier Jr. And I think we're missing a chance to just, you know, let's just keep them both forever. And when Spurrier gets too old, just try to Spurrier Jr. out there and let him talk.
When Spurrier, when he dies, we don't even have to announce it. Just pass Jr. off as senior.
I mean, Clemson's proved you don't have to tell the truth on these things. So let's just pretend. Suits me.
All right, T-Bone, why don't you hit us with some Twitter questions?
Twitter questions. We've got some good Twitter questions, and you're just going to have to stop me because there's more here than we can get to.
All right.
But the first one I'd like to talk about is from our friend of the podcast, Feathered Warrior. He says, if you could choose a fabric pattern for USC to be identified with, what would it be?
So a fabric pattern, not an actual fabric, not like denim, right, or you know, gabardine. Or
actually, I'll give you a couple examples just off the top of my head. Paisley is fabric. Yeah. Harlequin, Harris tweed, herringbone. Glenflad, gingham.
Yeah.
Check, tartan, argyle.
You're obviously reading this from a... from Wikipedia or something.
These are literally off the top of my head.
So I don't know. You know, G-Man's got a pair of those pants with the Gamecocks all over them. I've always thought those were pretty cool.
I've been meaning to talk to you about those
pants. Yeah, I know. So many people I know hate them, but I think they're pretty cool. So I don't know. You know, Paisley actually was the first thing I thought of. So let's just go with that.
Next,
it's Glenclad.
Boring. All right, go ahead.
Richard Avant, @Richard_803. Love when people throw the area code in there. @Richard_803. When is Doo-Doo Ice making a return?
Well, hopefully. Weren't you part of the whole Doo-Doo Ice conspiracy? Wasn't that where your season tickets were?
There was a time when I was exactly in the middle of the Doo-Doo Ice area, yes.
Did you ever taste the Doo-Doo Ice?
No. I don't want to admit this, but I guess, I mean, it's just, nobody's going to listen to this, right? It's just the three of us.
Right. Well, my mom.
I kind of had this weird longing for the ice in East Upper. It kind of tasted cool, like mossy or something. I don't know.
So everybody else thought it tasted like crap, but you enjoyed it. All right.
But I remember driving 2 hours to the football game and thinking, I'm going to get a cup of ice when I get there.
That's disturbing. All right, moving on.
We always knew he was a little off, and this just proves it. Or a lot off.
How was the field at Williams-Brice maintained for the 1992 Gamecock-Tennessee game when they filmed the program? That's from Beat Clemson, @BeatClemson.
Hey, we were there.
We were there.
I'll tell you, the field was not maintained back then. If you look at the shape of the field in some of those late season games back when we were in college in the early 90s, and they didn't do much to maintain those fields. They don't do nearly what they do today. So I think the answer is I don't think it really was. I mean, they probably replaced some huge divots or something like that, but I don't think they did much to maintain it, honestly.
All right. Another question from Billy Kohler. We've got several from Billy Kohler. That's at Billy, K-O-E-H-L-E-R. He asks, if you're saying what I'm already thinking, why should I listen?
I actually answered that on Twitter. It's to confirm that what we're saying is actually what he's thinking. So that's why everybody should listen.
And Billy is referring there to the tagline of the Rubber Chickens website. We're saying what you're already thinking.
Yeah.
Let's see. Moving on, we've got Connor Tapp question. We already
hang on. Billy has a question right after that. It says odds that Mitch and Orth end up rotating like Smelly and Beecher.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good question, and might be a good comparison with a tiny uptick in the talent level.
Yeah, I think the odds are like single digits at best. Again,
oh, really?
Again, I'm on the Mitch Nunez train here. And it's leaving the station.
Well, I think you got to put somebody in and let them. If you start yanking them out, I know Spurrier has a history of doing that, but you got to put somebody in and let them try to gain some confidence.
What happens, and we don't want this to happen, but what if it's like a Tommy Beecher situation or an Antonio Hefner situation?
Ooh.
Is it going to be Cooper, or is it going to be we go to Orth and then we go to Smelly?
It's not going to be Cooper. Not going to be Cooper. You need Cooper.
Cooper, yeah, well, Cooper can't throw the ball anyway. I mean,
I'm trying to tell you guys.
Not
consistently.
I mean, he can shot put one over the defense when they're not expecting it, but he's not going to sling it. So I see that Layla says that she wants our listeners to know that rocked flower gardens or rock flower beds are a terrible idea. Thank you for that public service announcement. She also says don't cook naked, which I can vouch for that. Let's go to
Rickson Lane. Rickson Lane's got a good question.
That is a good question.
For the G-Man, your life depends on a successful 85-yard, 2-minute drill. Pick a quarterback to lead the team. I'm going to give you three choices. Or actually, Rickson Lane's going to give you three choices.
Okay.
Dickie DeMasi, Vic Penn, or Eric Kimry?
I'm probably going to go with Vic Penn for that one.
I'm going with Vic Penn, too.
Vic Penn.
DeMasi was horrible. You got to eliminate him right away.
Am I wrong to say that actually occurred against Kentucky and Vic Penn was the guy? Or am I confusing my years?
What occurred against Kentucky?
No, you're thinking of Mike Rath.
Mike Rath. Troy Williamson.
Four in the end zone.
Yeah. Right. That's what I'm
Yeah, so Vic, yeah, Vic Penn was like 10 years before that. He was like 96, 97.
Confusing terribly.
Vic Penn was the quarterback when we had the 2-touchdown lead on Clemson and we ran the triple reverse with Troy Hamrick.
Yeah. And then Penn threw that pick to Antoine Edwards. Vic Penn didn't have the arm strength to throw the out at that point. After that game, I think it was after that game. I don't think we made a bowl game that year. He transferred to Central Florida and actually finished up. Played pretty well down at Central Florida.
He was not devoid of all talent.
Right.
Similar question from Gamecock Nation, and that's at Gamecock MHW. 4th and goal from the 1-yard line. You can give the ball to one guy. Bobby Wallace, Eric Baker, or Taylor Rank?
I'm giving it to Eric Baker.
Really?
Yeah. He's probably going to get a concussion,
right,
but I think he's going to score before he gets hurt.
The question does not say whether or not we're playing LSU.
Yeah.
I'm giving it Taylor Rank all day long.
Are you really? You know, Wallace is just too small.
Right.
I remember Baker being a tough runner when he had a chance.
Can I give it to Brandon Bennett over the top? Can I do that?
It wasn't a choice. It was not a choice.
But the answer is yes. You can.
Kelly Donald, at Kelly Donald, says, is there any truth to the rumor that you are the Connor Mitch impersonator in 5 points?
There is no truth to that rumor because the Connor Mitch impersonator in 5 points is actually Connor Mitch.
So I got to go back to Connor Tapp at Meet Me at Taps. Somebody actually asked him about that, and he said actually people are mistaking Connor Tapp for Connor Mitch because Connor Tapp is asking the bartender, or he's telling the bartender, I'm Connor Bitch. That was a great tweet. I saw another one. Billy Kohler again says, what will the headline on TBS be on Friday after the UNC game?
You're not going to believe what we heard.
Find out what happens next. When Steve Spurrier, yeah. What else we got on there?
Feathered Warrior is trying to get us to start a thing where we name an ingredient for each week of the game, and then we retweet people who send us pictures of a dish including that ingredient.
I think this all goes back to Blue Moon Disc. We want everybody to buy a Blue Moon Disc. Right. And
he says, for example, UNC could be cubed lamb steak or something. He says that he's not suggesting we should eat dog when we play Georgia or a Commodore. There's a picture of Lionel Richie.
Actually, I tweeted that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Brandy Mills, B Click Clack, says, does anyone want to buy some Georgia tickets if I don't use them all? And then she follows that up with, does anyone want to buy me out of attending the Georgia game altogether? I think we need to pool our money together because she's like 0-7 in her last 7 road games or something like that. So we probably do need to buy her out. Connor says, Connor Tapp again says, if you were to put a brand building hashtag at the end of every one of your tweets, what would it be? I think that's clearly...
This is right up your alley.
I think that's clearly here, TRC. Here, HERETRC. Here, TRC.
We should start, as they say in the common vernacular, let's legit start doing that.
All right. Were there any questions after that? I don't think so. G-Man, you got any intel on this 5-star center out of Miami that has... given us a visit? It's like us and Miami and one or two other schools. Have you seen that?
I have seen that. I would say short answer is no. The only intel that I would have is that he's from the school where Frank Martin used to coach.
Oh, is he?
The high school. And I think he is very well connected in the Miami area. And I think that's his high school. So I think the coach is a protege of Frank. So there's your connection.
Good to know.
So, do we have a legit shot? I mean, I don't know, but having, a visit out of the guy, he's a top, 20 player or something?
Yeah.
I think if we pick up 7th Woods, your chances of getting that guy go up exponentially.
Right.
So we shall see.
So 7th narrowed his down to 4 schools. And,
correct.
Us, Georgetown, North Carolina, and I can't remember who the 4th was.
Florida. Yep. Well, and the kid out of Irmo,
Shuler.
He's Shuler. He's the next year, but he just transferred up to Oak Hill,
which I don't think is bad news for us.
No, I don't either. I mean, that's where Thornwell went when he was. What are you doing over there?
T-bone.
Exactly. So, but I think we got a chance to get him back. I do.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about basketball, even though it's probably not a lot to talk about at the moment.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're excited for football season. Looking forward to it next Thursday night. Hopefully we can get back on the Thursday night winning track, and that way we can sit back and watch everybody else stress out on Saturday.
All right, who's going to be the player of the game? T-Bone.
Who's that big quarterback for North Carolina?
Marquise Williams.
It won't be him. The bet has got to be Pharaoh. That's the safest bet, right?
I got my pick, and it's not Pharaoh.
I'm going to say Brandon Wilds.
David Williams.
I'm going to say Elliott Fry. Because I think it's going to be a tight ball game. And I think he is going to be the difference at the end of the ball game. He is going to win the game for us on a late field goal.
I think Brandon Wiles is going to get about 27 carries for about 142 yards and three touchdowns. And we're going to run the ball down their throat. How about that?
I hope you're right.
All right. Well, good. Good show, man. We're about the 50-minute mark here. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. I hope we didn't lose any listeners tonight, but if we did, that's all right. I mean, our stuff is it's all free anyway, and it probably sounds a lot like the stuff you're paying for.
It's worth what you paid for.
Right. It's exactly worth what you paid for. All right. For T-Bone and the G-Man, I am Buck. Have a great week, and we will talk to you after the North Carolina game. Go Cox. Just